Today's gospel lesson comes to us from Matthew, the 13th chapter. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old.
Well, good morning again, LCR. Here we are still in the 13th chapter of Matthew. Last week, Pastor Karen walked us through the sower and the seeds and what good and evil are in our world and what we're called to in response to these parables that Jesus keeps telling, these confusing parables. Well, I have another question for you that has to do with something that's often confusing. Have you ever thought about the difference between a puzzle and a mystery? I don't know about you, but this distinction fascinates me, the difference between a puzzle and a mystery. With a puzzle, the problem is you need more information. You need it. With a mystery, you have plenty of information. The problem is figuring out what all of it means. A puzzle is a problem that can be solved with just a few more pieces. A mystery is a problem that can be solved only if you have learned or know how to interpret the pieces that you already have in front of you. Puzzles have appeal because there's always a right answer. There's always going to be some finished product that you can look at and say, I completed it. Even if you can't find it, you at least know it exists. Mysteries are different. They may not have an answer or perhaps more than one, and you can't always solve them. With puzzles, more information is good. Each piece of info gets you closer to solving the problem, but with mysteries, more information isn't necessarily good. More information can actually obscure the solutions, taking you farther away from solving the problem. You see, puzzles are transmitter dependent. They turn based on the information we are given, but mysteries are receiver dependent. Those who hear them, they turn based on the ability of the listener, of us, to interpret, to understand the information given to us. What the heck does all this have to do with Matthew 13? With that in mind, let us look back at Matthew 13 and consider Jesus' practice of speaking in parables. You see, I think most people read the parables like they are puzzles to be solved, yet I think Jesus intends them as mysteries. Jesus isn't giving us coded information about the kingdom of God. He's not giving little pieces to a puzzle that we all have to solve later on if we want to go to heaven when we die. That's not the point of any of this. Honestly, he's not even giving a ton of new data or information. For the most part, Jesus is just reinterpreting the information they already have from the Torah, their scriptures, the prophets, the writings, all of these things, trying to help them see these words in a new light. So as we consider these parables, we need to have this understanding up front. As he teaches, Jesus is trying to shape our imagination in a particular way so that we'll have the ability to see things other people can't see about our world, about what God's going to do in redeeming it. When Jesus told parables, at least as I understand it, he was trying to provoke his audience, much like Pastor Karen or I tried to on a Sunday morning, to see the kingdom of God around us, but also to see it as a great mystery. And this is a move that we all have to make. This process of moving from puzzles to the great mystery of the kingdom is an essential part of our discipleship, which is what we're called to do, which is part of our mission statement. If the parables Jesus uses aren't pieces to a puzzle that we have to solve in order to take part in some kingdom, then what are they? What if they are metaphors that are meant to do all sorts of things, to shape and form our imagination so that we can begin to see and experience this mystery of the kingdom of heaven here, now, today, in this moment, in this very second, as we are together virtually. Now look, the Jewish people basically agreed on what the problem was in the first century. They were under foreign occupation in their own land. Yahweh, God, didn't seem to be as powerful as the Roman gods. How would Yahweh, God, vindicate God's people and bring about God's kingdom? That was the question. The traditional Jewish approach was to treat this problem like a very difficult puzzle that needed to be solved. And each Jewish sect thought they had the missing piece. You've heard of these sects. The Pharisees thought the missing piece was perfect obedience to the law. The Sadducees, they thought the missing piece was some political and economic power. And the Zealots thought the missing piece was some holy war and revolution. So when he taught, when Jesus taught, it's important to note that he wasn't arguing for his own special brand of this missing piece. He was saying the kingdom isn't a puzzle. You can't solve it. It is a mystery. Jesus believed that God was on the move and the kingdom of heaven was coming, but he thought it would be hard for most of his Jewish brothers and sisters to see it because it wasn't going to look anything like what they had come to expect. So, And I don't mean to be dramatic, but this is extremely important to notice. If you are all interested in sharing the message of Jesus, Jesus found followers not by making an argument or any sort of polemic argument of any kind. He found followers by provoking them, by poking them, by kind of stirring up in them a new imagination, messing with their old categories of thought and challenging their beliefs and actions. He did this by using these rich metaphors and images embedded in parables. Over time, these stories began to shape the imagination of his followers. We can see this in all the New Testament writings. They became the kind of people who could see things other people couldn't see, who could give forgiveness and grace and love in ways that was radical. In particular, they could see that God was in Christ reconciling all things to God's self. Oddly, Jesus' teaching method seems to upset his disciples, right? Earlier in chapter 13, they say this, "Why do you always speak in parables? Can't you just give us the bullet points? Tell us what we're supposed to do. Just come right out and say it, man." And Jesus replies, "My followers can understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But not everyone has this gift." This is Matthew 13, 10. He looks at his disciples. He understands that when they say to him, "But not everyone," or when he says to them, "But not everyone has this gift," they're shocked. What does that mean? He actually uses the word mystery in this text. And the Greek word, it's going to sound really familiar to you, is, you ready for it? Mysterion. Sound like mystery? Right, because it is the same word used 30 plus times by Jesus in Scripture. This Greek word found in this text is recognizable to us because it's one that we use all the time. It's the same word from which we get the word mystery today. This new word that has come up over and over again since the creation, the mystery of the world, the mystery of the things around us, is an idea that Christ would constantly settle in and preach from, always using it in reference to how God is acting to fix the brokenness of the world through Christ himself, and how many people just didn't have the imagination for it. Mystery is one of the ways the New Testament writers, especially Paul, talked about the fact that some people could look at Jesus and see the Messiah while others saw something very different. It was a mystery. Some people just couldn't imagine how God could become human, suffer with us, struggle with us, grieve with us, die with and for us. Some people just couldn't see it. They simply do not have a category for that thought. And so Jesus's teaching, his teaching was nonsense to them, to most people. And as we see from earlier in Matthew, sometimes irritating to his disciples. In the Message version of Scripture, Eugene Peterson says it this way, "As you read this, I want you to notice how he uses the word ready and readiness." So this is earlier in Matthew chapter 13. "Whenever someone has a ready heart for this," this is the Message version, "the insights and understanding flow freely. But if there is no readiness, any trace of receiving soon disappears." This is Jesus speaking. "That's why I tell stories, to create readiness, to nudge the people toward reception, towards insight. In their present state, they can stare till doomsday and not see it, listen till they're blue in the face and not get it." When Jesus spoke in parables, it wasn't to confuse his followers or to obscure the kingdom or to create a puzzle. He's not messing with people. He's trying to create readiness to nudge people toward receptive insight. The kingdom of God is a mystery. Most people can see, Jesus is saying. Stare till doomsday and not see it. Listen till they're blue in the face and not get it. Jesus says, no, listen, you can see it. You can see it. So saying to Jesus, help us, give us the bullet points, none of that would matter. None of it would matter because the information is out there. The bullet point or the sales pitch of Jesus's message isn't going to get us where we need to go. We don't need new information. Jesus is saying it through a number of ways. He gets much louder about it later in his ministry. But look, friends, it's all around you. Stop now in this moment. I know I've been talking fast and loud, but stop and take a breath. In this moment, Jesus is saying you can experience the kingdom of heaven. It is here and now. It is in your neighbor across the street. It is in your loved one sitting next to you. It is in this sanctuary, though empty, filled with so many moments of ministry that then go out into the world. You have all these parables, and it starts with this mustard seed, and the mustard seed grows. And the mustard seed, by the way, wouldn't grow into a tree. It would grow into a bush. See, what Jesus is doing again is he is drawing from their knowledge in the Torah, in the book of Daniel and Ezekiel. There were these stories of this mighty tree that would grow up in the center of the kingdom of heaven, and all creatures could live under and in this tree. And it was meant to be imperial. It was meant to point to something majestic, to throw away what they thought was empire, Rome and that government, and to create a new kingdom of heaven here, now, on earth. He goes on to tell all these other parables and all these little vignettes. These stories are reminders that things that we see as confusing or mysterious are in fact good and meant to be pushed into, because the kingdom of heaven is always present and near us. And the fact that we miss it is because we too often think it's some puzzle to solve. And Jesus says, no, it's this beautiful mystery that is to be experienced in community, to be experienced in relationship. And now more than ever, in a time where we are uncertain and anxious and fearful, do we need to be reminded that the kingdom of heaven is around us? And furthermore, as I mentioned earlier, we are called to help create it. To go into the world and to be agents of change. That is the focus. When we say we are going to change lives by doing what? Loving Jesus, changing lives, and sharing the resurrection. That is part of who we are. When we say that we're going to do that, then we are answering the call of Christ. Then we are fulfilling what Jesus is trying to pull back the veil for his disciples in chapter 13. And sometimes it's hard. I remember when my grandmother had passed away. She was the last living matriarch of our family. My mom had passed away, and her mother had, and then my dad's mom passed away. And my boys had gotten to know her before she passed, the twins especially. And that she was Grandma Candy, because she always had candy. And Grandma Candy passed away, and we drove by where she used to live in Kenosha. And my kids brought her up. We miss Grandma Candy. Where's Grandma Candy? And my son Johnny said, well, she's in heaven. Great parenting win for a pastor to be, by the way. And I'm like, yeah, buddy. And Owen's like, what's heaven, you think? And I'm like, I don't know. What do you guys think? And Johnny said, well, heaven's up there. And then my son Owen said the most profound thing. He said, I think heaven's everywhere, Dad. As I surged with pride that my discipleship training for my children was finished and complete, I also reflected on how Jesus would constantly remind us to listen to children. I think Owen nailed it. The kingdom of heaven is around us. It is everywhere. God is moving ahead of us and drawing us into this mystery with God, but not without equipping us. Christ has equipped us. Pastor Karen and this church continue to equip you as we go out into the world to reveal this mystery to those who don't believe it, who may not see it, who may not even know it exists. So, church, in a time of fear and anxiety and uncertainty, I want you to hold true to the fact that Christ is real. Christ's love, resurrection, and gift to us to go out into the world with the power of the Holy Spirit is real, and we are called to reveal this mystery to the world. Will you do it? Amen.